All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody here. Good. Let's pray then. Father, we thank you for this day. Again, you've given us the privilege and honor to be here together before you. We thank you that we are here because of the shed blood of Christ. Nothing on our own we bring here today, only your mercy. So we pray that you'd help us to put away weeks distractions and focus on your word. Show us where we need to change. Also reveal in us where you have made great strides in sanctification up till this point. We do thank you that you do that in our lives day by day, sometimes gently, sometimes with heat where we need it, and chastening and tough days. We thank you for how you are good to us, even in our affliction. We ask for those who are afflicted today with sickness and not here because of that, cannot be with us. We pray that you'd comfort them, that you would help them to seek you out, the God of comfort, as Corinthians tells us, that you are the God of comfort. We ask you to restore them to health, if that's the case. If they're unhealthy, we think of Brandon and his recovering from surgery, that you'd heal his body, you'd give him strength and comfort as he deals with the pain of surgery. We miss him. We pray that you'd restore him back to us soon. And we ask for those who are here, who are not here because of choice, because of sin, because of seeking things that are not helpful to them spiritually. We pray that you'd convict them of that sin, and that you'd restore them back to the church soon. And we pray for us this morning. Grow us in grace in Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, so we start a new section of our study this morning, True North, using God's unchanging compass for navigating family life. We've gone through the role of the husband, the man, in the family, and how he's to function. We could spend more time, but it's just, you know, we only take so much, right? But I think hopefully I've covered enough for guys to get a grasp of where you ought to be in Christ, in the body, and in the family, and how you should function. And I hope the ladies here who are wives, or maybe one day will be wives, have been beneficial to them to help husbands navigate life. As men, we live in a world that's it's difficult. It's hard living as a man. You ask any man, and they should be able to tell you the difficulties that we face. They're there, and we all have them. So as a wife, be a support to your husband. Genesis says that you have been given to your husband as a help fit for him, meet for him, as it says in some versions. So you are a fit helper for your husband, so be that. The opposite of that is not pretty. It's not good. We're going to look at some of that as we go through the role of the wife and how you can be a better wife. I can be a better wife. Not so much for your husband, though that is a great benefit, but it's because of God, right? It's for his glory, for his name, and honor to him. And so we'll go through that. But looking at our compass here, the family roles, there's a lot on there. We've got north, south, east, and west, God on top. We've got biblical womanhood. In that goodness on south and biblical manhood. And I think that kind of encapsulates pretty succinctly what that's all about. It's God, husband, wife, and goodness for each other. God has been good to us. But we're going to be looking at a lot of these. They spin off into the periphery a little bit. There's the leadership, Christ-likeness, kindness, self-control, faithfulness, sacrificial love, service, submission, patience, obedience, humility, peace, and leadership. So all these things we have been covering some of these things as we've been talking about, even just where we've gotten started over the past few weeks. And so we've covered some of these. We'll cover them more as we go through. But I want to start this morning, the role of the wife. And that is summed up easily by respectful submission and partnership. And we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 5, and 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't know if we'll get to all of those places this morning, but we'll see. We'll work our way through. And so depending, it varies depending on how much conversation, input, questions, discussion goes on. So that's fine. I welcome that. I love it. I love the format of discussion and Q&A and, you know, pulling together our collective wisdom for those who have been married a long time and those who have been married a short time. We all have something to bring to the table in our discussion. And if you're single and you're looking to be married one day, well, you can chime in, you can ask questions. Definitely observe, listen to the, as I say, the gray hairs, right, the older ones here, who have wisdom been given to us by God. Wisdom is not something you can buy, not something you can get out of a college education. It's not something that you can, you know, sleep on your pillow at night and it sucks into your brain. It doesn't work that way. It's, what is the definition of wisdom? Can anybody give me a really short answer of wisdom?
Implied knowledge.
Implied knowledge? It's, yeah, that's good. It's implied knowledge or, yeah, Joe.
Well, biblically, it's the fear of the Lord, but Terry always said that it is skilled living.
Yeah, skillful living is another way to put it. So, yeah, that's wisdom. So we can't, that just takes time. It takes time, and, you know, God gives us His Word. He gives us the church, right? The church, I can't tell you how vital the church is. The longer I'm in the church, part of the church, the more that I see the importance of the church. You know, I was raised a Catholic, and it was, thou shalt go to church. It was a sin if you didn't. It was a mortal sin, I think they called it. That was a real serious sin. But it was all obligation and force and manipulation. But not for the Christian. This should be our day. This, to me, I look forward to Sunday. When I miss, you know, and I don't make it, it's 2 weeks I don't see people. So I don't know. I'm out of, like, fish out of water when Sunday comes and I'm not here. It's just something that I love being here. I love being with you, seeing as I observe, you know, the room, and I see people and where you're at. As I've gotten to know you, I see God's grace in your life and you're functioning and you're working and you're being sanctified and growing. It's just exciting. It's just good to see what the God of the universe, who created all of us, as Al, you know, taught us in Genesis. It's just good to see the great God of the universe work in the hearts of His people. And it gets even better because we think about the church worldwide, right? God is active in every individual continuously without losing any energy or missing anything. It's amazing. So kind of got off on a little bit there, but anyway, we're looking at the role of the wives, which is respectful submission and partnership. Okay, so so we want to get an understanding of the biblical concept of a wife's respectful submission as a voluntary response to her husband's loving leadership and her vital role as a partner. So we went over a lot for the man. You are called to be a loving leader, as Christ loved the church. That's a big call, and that's a hard thing to do and navigate, especially when, number one, you're a sinner, man, right? With our depravity, we own it, and we live it every day, but you're living with another depraved creature. And so, you know, there's going to be that tension. There's going to be that tension. Paul told us that we would have trouble in this life as married couples, guaranteed. So brace yourself if you're going to get married one day. Brace yourself for that truth, that you're going to have trouble when you get married with your spouse, just the way it is. And so we get to choose to navigate us through the tough times, right? So we want to understand this concept of respectful submission. So I want to ask you a question. Think about it for a second. That's all you're going to have, because that's all I'm going to give you. But when you hear the word submission, you think of the word submission. What comes to your mind? What are your initial thoughts and feelings about the word? What are your thoughts? What have been your thoughts? Things come to mind. Someone talks about submission. Joe?
I mean, even being saved, my flesh reaction is that's a negative thing. Submission, right, is a negative thing.
So the flesh flares up. When I hear that, it kind of, you know, grates on you a little bit. What else? Any other concepts or thoughts you've had over that word?
Humility.
What is it?
Humility.
It brings on humility, the idea of humility. Chris, you're next. Oh. Nope. It's obeying. I don't know if your mic is on. Yeah, it's obeying. Oh, you got to hold it close. By the way, when you use the mic, you got to hold it real close to your mouth, okay, so it doesn't pick up. Oh.
Nick, you have to turn it on.
Somebody else. Obeying somebody else, right, under someone else's care. Right. Yep. Good. Thank you. Chris.
Check. Okay. Orderly.
Yep. Orderly is another word. Kevin.
I heard of an analogy once that said when you submit to your wife or to the wife submits to their husband, you come underneath them, and each comes underneath the other, so you create like a mesh. You mesh in between each other. As one and each another submit to each other, you become more and more joined together.
Right. Yeah, you submit to one another in love. I'm going to look at that idea in a minute here. Anybody else? I think we covered some of that, right? There's two different various responses. One is you bristle at it, right, because it's that the flesh kicks up. We don't like that word. Hey, we're from New England, right? Isn't this the cradle of liberty, right? Freedom. We don't want to submit. We you know, the Revolutionary War. It was a war of not being submissive to England. So we live in an area where that's like part of our blood almost. This lack of submission, we bristle at that. We bristle at the government paying taxes and so on. So. Yeah, good idea. Good ideas. How does the world, the society, and culture view submission in the context of marriage? Let's go a little deeper. In the context of marriage, in our culture, how does the world view submission? Derek.
The world views submission as a devaluing of the other, or even some radically take it like, oh, it's like a slavery or some kind of this. It's like, oh, you're minimizing who she is as a person.
Right. Yeah, dismissing people. If you're demanding submission, you are dismissive of other people. Jason.
I think the world sees it as archaic and oppressive.
True. And that's a good point. That's a great point, because as I'm preparing this stuff, I'm thinking, you know, should I say it that way? Should I soften it somehow? Because we live in an age where, you know, I talk about submission, and women could say to me, well, easy for you to say, you're a man, you're going to get the benefits of our submission. That's not it. I can't go there. I'm not there. So I don't want to come across in anything I say in this study as, oh, you're a man, you don't get it. Who are you to tell me? I'm just the messenger. I'm just the water boy, right? I'm delivering what God's word gives to us. So I mean, no offense if I say anything that kind of grates on you as women, as wives. I'm just delivering what I think the word says. So we'll start off right there with a disclaimer, right? So my intent is to help you to, all of us, just to grow in grace, be more like Christ as a result of our time together, right? Colossians tells us that the job of the leader, the shepherd, is to present everybody complete in Christ. Colossians tells us that. So that's my goal. So the world and society has a very different view of submission than what the scriptures teach, and with respect to in the context of marriage. So the first thing is the church's submission as a role model, as a model. It's found in Ephesians 5:24, and Ephesians 5:24, he said, beginning in 21, chapter 5, he says in 21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That's the end of the paragraph, right? If you read previous to that, you'll see, let me just turn there quickly. Because there's some confusion about that verse that many people fall prey to. Let's get into context here. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to pick it up in verse 15. Verse 1 for us, he says, be imitators of God as beloved children. And 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. End of paragraph. So we're going to start something, a new idea here. I say that, it's very important to remember that as we interpret this passage, these verses. He continues on, new idea. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands. Now, why do I say that we're in a different topic beginning in verse 22? Well, 21 is the end of the paragraph. So if you go back to verse 15, there's where we start this idea. Right, from 15 to 21, that's one area of discussion. So, and if you look at the context, I'm not going to do it now, but if you look there and you dissect it out a little bit, we submit in three, in what ways do we submit? Well, there's three contrasts, three commands, and three contexts. Chapter 5, 22, and then 6, 1, 5, and 3. There's three submissions in this passage for us to think about. I'm not going to get bogged down there now because it's not the time, but in 5:21 is not the umbrella. It is not under 5:21. So it's not the umbrella for all the rest of it. It doesn't say, Paul is not saying, submit to one another and everything in here falls under that. Like, I'm supposed to submit to my wife and my wife is supposed to submit to me, yes. But the first part, no, I'm not to submit to my wife. In some ways I am, sure. You know, if she comes to me with truth of Scripture, I need to submit to that. But I'm not to submit to her leadership. She is not a leader in my home. And I, you know, this may sound harsh, but I guard that. I protect that very strongly. Why? There's a lot of reasons. But you know the number one reason is? Because Christ has commanded me. God tells me that. Why do we witness? Because God tells me to, right? That's why. So I guard that. That's protection. And you know, my wife is not telling me, oh, I want your leadership. No, she. We know that. We've been saved for a long time. I grew up. My cut teeth on this whole passage, the submission thing. A little history. When I got saved, it was in the 80s, late 70s. Where the church was really responding and reacting to feminism. National Organization of Women, coming out of the 60s, all the time and turmoil of the sexual revolution, women's movement, all of those kinds of things. And that all came out of the 1940s when people were questioning Scripture, always questioning Scripture. So it kind of devolved over time. So I cut teeth on these doctrines when I came to a church. They were big on, and almost to a fault in some ways, it was all submit, 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 submit. Women submit, women submit. They had sometimes their thumb on the women, and which I was never comfortable with. But at least we learned our roles well at that time. So just a little history of my protection of my manhood, my leadership is very strong. And understand, and Andrea understands that and respects that. Why? Because it's biblical. It's what God wants. It's what Christ wants. So, you know, if it was the other way around, yeah, I would have to, you know, we'd have to submit to her if that's what God said. But, and the other thing is about submission is difficult, I think, for women is the Genesis 3 curse, right? When man fell and God pronounced judgment, he said to the man, you're going to sweat, you're going to work, you're going to sweat. Work is not a curse. It's the sweating part. It's the hardness of, the difficulty, the earning the paycheck, and all of those things. That's the curse. Work is not a curse. I love to work. I still like to work. I don't know about you, but I was talking yesterday at the men's breakfast that we're getting away from that. We are becoming a very lazy, soft culture, as far as when it comes to employment, work, and those, all those kinds of things. Even as being a man, we are living in lazy times, and we have to stop that. But so all of that to say that this idea of 521 is not the umbrella for 522 and on. It stops at 522. 522 is the umbrella of verse 22 through 6:9. Right? All this submission stuff. So notice here, he says, Christ is the head of the church. The world hates biblical submission. It does. It's all over the place. They hate biblical leadership, headship by men, and they hate submission. So this is speaking of, notice in the text here, of Ephesians 5, this is speaking of husbands and their wife, not everybody else's wife, right? And the same with ladies, we're going to see in a minute, that is, submit to your husband, not other husbands. So you might say, well, what about a leader in the church? Yeah, I'm a husband, but I'm not your husband. You submit to me in a different, in the sense of being discipled, right, or pastored, that's a different submission, but not as a husband. I have no, go talk to your husband. Don't, you know, don't, I don't, not, I'm not over you. I have enough with one, right? I don't know how Solomon did it. But one is enough. Can I get any amens out there? You can go ahead, guys. You can do it. It's all right. We're in protected environment here. Which you get home.
What about the authority of elders? Like, say you have single women or single men. Like, because I know, obviously, you have new wives who submit to their husbands, and they submit to Christ. But then you have, you know, for children, their authority is their parents. And then when they become older as adults, then the authority is the eldership, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a different. They're not submissive to me as a husband.
Right.
I'm not their husband. As an elder, as a leader, as a shepherd, then, yeah, there's some submission ideas. So, see, things aren't always clear-cut in the same for every situation. We use these words, so we want to be careful with word studies and using words, is to understand the context of that. And so did you understand that when someone says in Ephesians that we are subject to one another in the fear of Christ, and then he says, wives, be subject to your husbands, and for the husband is... Again, I can't stress it. I'm not submissive. I don't have to be submissive to my wife. She's not my leader. If I'm following in Scripture, then by all means, she needs to tell me. And I need to submit to that. Jason.
Just for clarity, I know that you're trying to teach us how not to read the passage. Can you just state, like, what is the wrong reading of that? Like, what? How do people mistake when they read that? I think that would be helpful.
Well, then they say we, as husbands and wives, we have to submit to one another. The wife has to submit to the husband, and the husband has to submit to the wife. And that's not what he's saying there. No. I don't know if it answers your question, but...
Yeah, I just thought it would be helpful to say.
Okay. It's on a recording, so you can go back and listen. Do we understand what that's about? Because, see, there's where feminism has come into the picture. So, see, and they'll use this verse. Maybe a liberal Christianity will say, see, man, you have to submit to your wife. No, I don't. Because you're misinterpreting the Scripture. So, and also the text here, it's in order, not value. Right? I value my wife. We're going to look at that too in the future as we get there, but... my wife is valuable to me, extremely so. And so it would be foolish for me not to love her as Ephesians tells me to. I'm just putting gas on a fire that I don't want to start. And so I value my wife. Women are valuable. They are so strong in the church. As men, we would be lost in many ways without you. So don't ever... That's why Paul says to cherish her, right? Value her in Ephesians 5 here. He tells us. What should our attitude be? A loving, voluntary, like Christ loves, agape love. We give up, we sacrifice, voluntarily sacrifice, because it's to their benefit, our benefit, and for God's glory. So we value you, women. I'll just tell you, I value my wife. And so it's an order issue, not a value issue. And so again, verse 22 is a new paragraph, a new idea. So again, I'll read it. Wives, submit to your husband. We have specific commands for wives. And they're found in Colossians 3:18, Ephesians 5:22, 24, and 23. So wives, be subject to your own husbands, not all husbands. I added that. As to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Do you understand? Do you see the importance, the severity, the gravity of this command? That notice in verse 24 again, but as the church is subject to Christ. That's a weighty order right there. As the church is subject to Christ, we ought to be, well, you ought to be wives to your husbands in everything. Does everything mean everything? Every single thing? Everything. Someone shake their head no, someone shake their head yeah. Who shook their head no? I saw the head. Was it you?
It was an accident.
No, we're not. You don't need to be subject to everything. Yes, I've forgotten your name.
Teresa.
Teresa, yes.
I have trouble with the word submission because I don't think we should submit to our husband if he is contrary to our belief in what Christ is telling us. How can I submit to him if I believe he is not following Christ?
Okay. That's a great question. Yeah, she asks, she doesn't agree that we need to submit to everything in the sense of, what if my husband is, or her husband, I don't have a husband, but if her husband wants her to do something contrary to Scripture, how would you answer? Can you answer that, anybody?
Second part of verse 22, as in the Lord.
As in the Lord, right there, right. Derek.
You also have in 1 Peter where, he's talking about an unbelieving husband too, but if a wife submits to the husband, even if he's acting the way, he can be one with her conduct. If she's acting the way that the created order is supposed to be, like, you know, it's like when Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, you know, the man is the head because he was created, because Adam was made first. That's why she's the head. So it's appealing back to the created order. So if she is fulfilling, if she's doing her role, that is a testimony, and she can be won by her godly conduct and the way she's supposed to act. You know, I mean, it's what I said earlier, and if I make a decision that's not great, and Katie sees that a mile away, she can voice her disagreements, but she still has to follow what I say, and I have to take the responsibility of those consequences.
True. Oh, whoa. Okay.
I was going to say, just
took it out.
The only thing it would be is if he is asking her to sin against God. That I think that's the only time we couldn't say absolutely not.
I agree.
Right. We fear God rather than men. Right. We obey God rather than men.
Yeah, and I think ultimately, you, from what Teresa had said, you have to qualify what she meant, which she could explain further, but. As a woman, or even as a man, if I say, I'm not sure I believe he understands or she understands what Christ said, that's not ground for saying, well, then forget it. Because I could completely misunderstand a passage and then say to my elder, Russ, I don't agree with you. I don't think that's what Jesus means in this, so I'm not going to listen to you. I think that's a different story. And ultimately, when we, not too long after coming here, Terry and, you know, Jess and I talked to Pastor Terry, and ultimately, the man is responsible for the decision, the woman is responsible for submitting to his decision. He'll be held responsible for the consequences. God's not going to ask the woman, why did that? that happened, he's going to say, did you listen? If it's outright sin and it's clear that your husband is leading you in sin, do not follow it. But if it's, well, I don't necessarily agree that that passage means that, I don't think that's any grounds to say, well, I'm not going to listen to that. So I don't think that's what she meant. I'm just saying you have to clarify what.
No, right, right. So that's good. Yeah, so I think it's what she, part of it is, you know, well, there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, we have to live by an informed conscience, right? Informed by the Word of God. So if my conscience, my thinking is informed by Scripture, I don't have to disobey. I mean, I don't have to obey if it goes against my conscience. But that's you open up a wide term there. My conscience doesn't dictate that's right. Well, let's inform the conscience then. Right, how are we gonna inform the conscience?
You inform and you bound your conscience to the Word of God.
Yeah, Romans 12, right? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Prove what is right and what is acceptable. We do it by Scripture. So if your conscience doesn't let you do that, make sure your conscience is informed by Scripture. And if it's not, then get some help with that, right? The church is helpful. Church can help you with that. So to your point, I don't know if that answered your question, but if your husband is doing what the Scriptures teach, you're bound by Scripture, you're bound by the Lord to submit to that. If not, then we obey God rather than man. So I'm not gonna obey man if he's contrary to Scripture. So inform your conscience with truth, and you'll never go wrong. So does that answer your question, or is that helpful?
Yeah.
You sure? Ask more questions if you want to. Or if you want to think about it and ask another time, it's up to you.
Can I ask a hypothetical
question? Yeah, go ahead. Hypothetical question coming your way.
All right, say I'm a wife, and my husband, and my husband is going, I'm going to a biblical church that preaches the Word of God, rightly divided, rightly applied. But my husband goes to a church, this is weird to say that, but goes to a church that doesn't, but I want to come to one that does, and he wants to go to one that doesn't. I'm the wife. What should I do?
Good question. What do you do? Any takers on that?
So several years ago, we had a big controversy in the ladies' study over this issue. I was adamant you have to obey your husband. But anyhow, we ended up going to Terry over the issue and basically said that you have to do what will grow you in God, so you have to go to the biblical church. And that was pretty much his answer. I think part of an answer to Terry's question, Teresa's question as well, is if you're married to a non-believer, you know, how much do you submit to that husband? And I think unless it's totally against Scripture, you submit to that husband no matter what. I think that's my understanding of Scripture.
Okay, Kevin, got a comment. Wait for the mic.
I think there's parallels also with government, too, with this, in that if government demanded by law that you say the president is God, which is what happened in Rome, they demanded Christians to say Caesar is God. That's how and why a lot of Christians went to death, right? Because they wouldn't do it. So I think there's parallels here to say you're responsible and you're going to stand before God, for a holy throne someday, you know. In that case, I would say, yeah, you'd have to, you know, if you were the woman, you were the wife, you go to the Bible church because you're responsible to God. You're, you know, God is who you're going to stand before someday.
Okay. Derek, you got a comment?
Could I add on to Chris? What if the husband wants to go to another church that's not biblical, that's like Catholic or something else that's like liberal? What do you do then? I don't know if that's what you quantified it as, but.
We'll just say, you know, maybe like we'll call it a Methodist church, right? That still holds on to a male elder or male preacher, right, instead of a female preacher for the time being. Right? It's right on that line. I mean, if it was Catholic, yeah, we know that there's no way you can go there. But it's just right on that line.
Joe, go ahead.
This may be an unpopular answer to that, but I believe if the husband is saved and the wife is saved, then the wife submits to the husband and goes to the church that the husband wants to, all the while praying that God would change. If it's a biblical church, maybe they don't preach word by word, be it verse by verse, John McAllister style preaching, but it's like, it's a little worldly for me. But if they're preaching the scriptures, it's a church. If they're doing baptisms and the Lord's Supper, then it's a church. And I don't think Ephesians tells gives a qualification as far as the mission. It's everything.
I just wanted to add to that, too. We were kind of in that situation for a while before we came here. And I was just going to say, I think we forget the power of prayer, honestly, because for a long time I wanted to leave, and we weren't in the same, we weren't at the same place. And I just continued to pray and read, and eventually Joe said, I think we need to leave. So.
So another hypothetical, but what if, you know, there's places where, you know, back in time, there wasn't a Bible, but there was a church. You know, but what if your husband told you not to read the Bible? I don't want that thing in my house. Well, you still have it anyway, because people died to have a Bible in their home. You know, so the church, I don't think the church is any different in some ways. It's, you know, going to church is the only option you have to hear the word. And people risk their lives to go to church. And so if your husband tells you to not go to church, not have the Bible, you don't have a choice, it would seem to me. You know, and that's sort of like the, you know, maybe the worst case scenario, I'm thinking.
Right, we are told not to forsake the assembly, correct?
Yeah.
And then we see in 1 Peter 2:2, Peter says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So if the wife is struggling with the husband's decision on church, going to church, what kind of church, we have scripture that informs us as to how that should go. So the wife should be thinking, first of all, right here, 1 Peter 2, I need to grow, I'm desiring the pure milk of the word, and I want to grow in respect to my salvation, that's one. I cannot forsake the assembling with other believers, that's two. And then in 2 Peter 3:18, Peter writes, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. So, I think using those principles of scripture, commands, and guidelines, that's the decision. That's how the decision is made. And she's also said to, told to submit to her husband and respect his authority. So she would have to kind of navigate that scripture in her own thinking, in her own, and let her conscience be informed, and ask those kind of questions. Are they preaching the truth? Maybe it's not the style that I want. Maybe it's not expository, but you know, they're preaching the truth. They're preaching the gospel. They're functioning church biblically. All those kinds of things come into play And so she has to navigate that and say, well, you know, maybe it's a church that's not be my first choice, but I can grow there. Right? So she would want to and have to be submissive to her husband in that. If they're preaching heresy, I would say absolutely not. I mean, maybe that, I don't know if that goes in contrary to what Terry advised, but I'd say no. You know, don't go to a church that's going to preach heresy or false doctrine, because we're told to get away from false doctrine. See, the scripture needs to, we need to be informed by what the word says. The scriptures tell me not to place myself under false teaching, false teachers. Look at how much print and ink is given to the false prophets in the Old Testament, the Pharisees in the New, false teaching in the epistles. That would be my advice, but that's where you'd have to figure it out. Use wisdom and prayer. Prayer comes into play. And so I don't know if that would go contrary to what Terry told you, but that's my call.
Right. Yeah. That's what he said.
So you may have to compromise somewhere, if that's the case. If you find yourself in that situation. You know, if I were living someplace and was only, a Presbyterian church and believe in paedo baptism and confusion of the covenants, I'd go. I mean, you know, they're not preaching, they're not teaching me Christ is not God. And, you can use, psychology for truth. You know, they're not doing that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a dance, right? Life, the Christian life is a careful dance. So, Derek.
And just to actually add on to what Jess said, just... If the husband is unwilling to go, this is where your trust in the Lord's sovereignty, if the husband is truly God's own, then the conviction of the Spirit is going to work in that man to not only grow in the Scripture, but in being bound to the Word of God, he's also going to realize, I'm not in a good place. I'm not in a place that is preaching deep truth, whether it's heresy or shallowness. We need to be in a place where we are learning sound doctrine and people are living it out. And God is going to, you know, just like God has the power to save and sanctify, he will preserve the believer. He will keep them and he will move them to a place where darkness is not rejoiced over.
Right. Yeah. So Ephesians chapter 5, any other comments before I continue? Any other questions, comments? John, go ahead.
Sorry if this was already covered, because I only hear half of what goes on here. A lot of what we're looking at is God's commands to Christians, so they don't apply when you get the situation of an unbeliever and a believer that are married. The Bible does specifically cover that in a different verse, but you know, a situation where a husband is forbidding a wife to associate or go to a Bible-believing church can often quickly become it's often a case of a control freak who's trying to control everything the wife does, and that's not healthy, and you can't tell what level of rage an unbeliever can rise to when they're trying to control everything in their life like that. And, you know, so there's a lot of individual situations, and I don't believe anyone should be in a relationship where there's a threat to their life. You know, that doesn't mean you have to get divorced, but you have to get separate. There's a lot of difficult situations, but the first step is always to be a testimony, but I know that can get shut down real quick. So, don't talk to me about that. Don't say anything about that when my friends are around, and it can escalate pretty quick. All right?
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, we're going to cover that. We'll get to Peter down the road line, but we'll talk about these things again, I'm sure. So, yeah, very good. A lot of good comments. Again, back to Ephesians, be subject to your husband, not all husbands, as to the Lord, your husband as to the Lord. Remember, we've got to keep that in mind, as to the Lord. It's a picture of the church and the wife, all high concepts, deep concepts about what that looks like for us as people. We can't get bogged down in the horizontal. I just don't want to submit to this person. It's bigger. It's bigger than that. So, and then he says, nevertheless, in 33, the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. So there's a submission and there's a respect. Two-sided coin. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit and be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So you get a perspective there. He tells you to submit, but he says he points it to the Lord again. So keep that in mind. Again, to your husband, not all husbands. All right, so let's move on here. Defining some terms, some key terms that we're talking about, throwing around submission and respect. What do these words mean? We can't just make it mean what we want it to mean. We have to define it in the scriptures. And by doing that, we're going to look at just a quick look at the original words. The word submission. In Ephesians 5:22, the Greek word is for submission is hupotasso. It is a military term that literally means to rank yourself under. It's not about being inferior, but about voluntary placing oneself under the authority and leadership of another for the sake of order and a common goal, and I will add, an obedience to Christ. So understand this term. You're not a doormat, ladies, just because you're told to submit. The world places it on that word. Oh, you're just a doormat. Your husband, he can't control you. You're freedom. You're a free woman. This is America. We live in a free country. We have a constitution. You know, yada, yada, yada. It goes on, right? It's confusing. Because it's coming from a confused mind. And so it's not. You're not inferior. I can't stress it enough because we hear it all the time. And so, military term. Jesse. Military term, hupotasso, you're placing yourself under someone's authority. What happens when you don't do that as a soldier? You don't place yourself under someone who has authority over you as a soldier. What happens? You want to get the mic to Jesse, somebody? I thought we had two runners.
Test. I mean, in the military, when you don't follow orders, the penalties can be severe. There's accountability, and you know, again, like in the military, you can lose rank, pay. I mean, they can boot you. And you know, in the olden days, they would, you know, you could get basically shot. They don't do that anymore. I think sometimes they should, but given the climate of the military now, but yeah, I mean, there's accountability. It's a serious thing, and you know, I learned at a young age as a private, there's pain that's associated with that too, like physical, mental. So yeah, like I said, I know we talked a little bit about this, but there's accountability, and it's usually pretty fierce. So
there's a price to pay for insubordination. I mean, I don't advocate doing a military thing if your wife isn't submissive. But you know, you get the point. There's insubordination. Anybody else want to chime in? Any military people who want to kind of add to what Jesse said? There's accountability. You're going to cause problems for yourself, right? And it won't go well. And I'm not saying that you're going to add stress to your marriage. Right, and I don't advocate men taking the position of I'm gonna execute some discipline. We don't have that. God will do that, right? If not here, one day, because we're all gonna stand before the judgment seat, and so men are gonna be judged for how we are husbands, ladies are gonna be judged how they are wives, and so. It's a much bigger picture when it comes to accountability. We have one who we're accountable for. I'm not saying that there's not accountability. If a wife is not being submissive to a godly husband with balance and he's being obedient to the word, then yeah, there are consequences. You can go to Matthew 18, and you hope it wouldn't get there, but so there are consequences here, but there are greater consequences there on the other side in eternity. So, Jesse.
Yeah, sorry.
Alonzo. Oh, you need a mic up here. You need
Alonzo,
need a segue.
Then.
Buzz around. Yes. Oh, no, go ahead. You go. You had it.
I agree with what the gentleman back there said. In the military, every order comes down from the bridge, and it goes down to whatever department. And if you're not following the order, people get hurt. People can lose their lives. You can sink a ship.
So there's some pretty drastic consequences to insubordination. So you see this. So you see the word that Paul is using here. I don't know what it would have been like in the first century, what this term would have meant, hupotasso, in their military, but it probably wasn't a kinder, gentler military like we have today. So there was probably some brutal consequences. I was looking up as to what Jesse said. I looked up what is insubordination in the military. He was, it could be from losing pay to losing rank to being discharged, right? Dishonorable discharge. Alonzo.
So the thing that I think of right now is the difference between King David and King Saul. You know, and David loved God, and he had the greatest warriors behind him. Anybody could fight alongside with David, but you know, David was the leader. You know, but under him was the Lord, and he loved the Lord, and he did everything according to what God has told him to do. And but you can, in contrast with Saul, obviously he loved man, and so there was dire consequences resulting to that. And so the soldiers were all submissive to that, to him, but you can see what God has called, held him accountable for his actions.
Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly say that I know that in my own marriage, if when I don't submit to what he has said, he doesn't have to really do anything. I feel like the Lord chastises me just because there's disunity, there's just the separation between us. And I think of David when he sins, when he talks about how his body was groaning in pain, and you just physically feel awful, emotionally, mentally. You definitely have consequences.
Sure. Yeah, the varied, varied consequences. Well, good. Good comments. More than like next week, we'll look at respect, and we'll do some review on submission. And we have a need of a mic. Oh, Maricela. Okay, good.
Want to make a comment about submission.
Yeah.
When you're married to a military or somebody who wasn't the military, it can be very stressful, difficult, because, they have discipline and they just want things on time in a certain way, and you have to adjust to that. And it's difficult, to submit, because I pray a lot about submission.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that comment. It takes a lot of, it's counterintuitive to a lady, a woman. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. You've got that, ladies. You've got that tension. It's there. It's part of your depravity, right? To want to rule your husband. Face it. That's what it says. So if you can understand that and remember that, it'll go a long way for you in being obedient to Christ. You have a tendency to want to buck, push the system, to push back on your husband. That's there. And so if you can know that and fight that, you're going to go miles to obey this scripture according to the Lord's command. Jose.
Yeah, just a comment that submission is glorifying God, right? And that's the same way that in the military, right, you show respect to follow orders, and that's, you're respecting the person right above you. So we are, by submission, and respecting and loving God, right? Giving him the glory. In the end, to me, that's what it means. Yeah. Glorifying God.
Amen. Yep. That's the big picture right there. Okay, is that all for comments or questions?
Joe had his hand.
Oh, who did?
Joe,
go ahead.
Just quickly, you know, on the military theme and thinking, you know, there's an enemy that the military is going against. In the same way, we have an enemy that is looking to divide us. So when there is insubordination, if you want to call it that, the husband and wife are off, then the devil is looking for an opportunity to get into that marriage. He's not going to steal either of their souls in Christ's home, but God's not going to receive glory from their submission and their love to see Christ in the church. So it is important, whether they agree or disagree. If a soldier disagrees with the orders of his officer that's telling him, you know, you need to go do this, it's not going to go well. There's going to be division, there's going to be disunity, and it's going to allow the enemy to get in and destroy what could have been protected if they stayed as one. So.
Right. Yeah, go ahead.
One of the things that in the military, you are required to follow lawful orders and not unlawful orders.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that. What happens in the military if your commanding officer tells you to do something illegal or immoral? What do? You within the bounds to say, no, sir, I'm not going to do that?
Yes,
now, will you face consequences?
You face it in court.
Yeah. Yeah, so you go through the channels. It's no different than what we're talking about here. If there's a conflict, you go to your higher authority, right, which would be your elders, and would settle that. Any other comments? We are out of time, but if you want to slip one more in there, if not, save it till next week. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good day. We thank you for the conversation this morning. It's been great to just hear what people think and look at what your word says to help inform our thinking correctly and to change what needs to be changed. We thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy and grace and kindness in so many ways. We do pray for Brandon again this morning that you'd restore him to good health, bring him back to us, give him good recovery from the surgery, that he would be a good patient to do what the doctors instruct him to do, that he would not overdo it, that he would, when therapy comes, that he would just be a good patient with that and recover quickly. We pray, strengthen him this morning as he's home, help him to draw his strength and encouragement from you as he tunes into the live stream, that he would be lifted up and encouraged. Lord, help us to come alongside him, call, send cards, letters, emails, texts, whatever, to encourage him in his faith and his walk with you, we pray. Thank you for this time again. In Jesus' name, amen.